Chapter 1, His Mistress's Father. Philomena did not have an easy life. Orphaned at an early age, she was raised by her grandmother, Fabiola, her father's mother. He died in a car accident when she was 10, while her mother had died at childbirth when she was born. Her grandmother had to act as a father and mother, but she was above all firm, despite being a charming old woman. The poor lady left to go with her son when she was already 70 years old, when Philomena was already 23 and had finished her studies at the university. She had to postpone her last subjects until September, because the death of the good old Fabiola broke her life, and her heart. What would she do now, without her beloved grandmother? She was sad for more than a month, without leaving the house, crying, until she remembered Dona Fabiola's words, "Wherever you are, I will be with you. Study, take your degrees, work and be happy, my girl. If you succeed in life, I will succeed with you. If you cry, I'll cry with you." Her grandmother taught her her philosophy of life, she taught her how to live. After 30 years of marriage, she was a widow shortly before the birth of Philomena, to whose education she devoted herself physically and mentally, especially since the death of her son, as they both were the only living relatives of the good lady. Philomena finished her studies in September, and the following year she took the exams to become a tax inspector. Her work was based on numbers she was passionate about. And then she met him. He was a rather lazy and very ignorant young man, of those who need help. She felt powerful adopting him, even though he was quite a bit older than her. They married a year later, and the following one they divorced. He was of those lazy and useless guys who live by his parents until they can live by their wives. She tried her luck at married life twice more, and both times turned out just as bad. And at 35, she was divorced for the third and final time. Luckily she had no children. The first of these husbands did not want them, the second never thought about having children, and although the third did want to have them, she no longer wanted to. That was one of the reasons for the divorce. But she was deeply disappointed in the couple's love and relationship. She would no longer fight in the arenas of love, or so she decided. 15 years later she had a good gang of friends, all single or divorced without the desire to complicate their lives with men. She tried girls, but that disgusted her even more than enduring a man of any class. "Mom, can you tell me where Mr. Clark's office is?"
"I am Mr. Clark, sir."
"Philomena Clark, what can I do for you?" That boy was really lost. He was very young, barely 20, if at all, and he did not underestimate his income tax well. Someone sent him to see Frederick Clark, F. Clark, an employee who helped people make their income tax returns. But he got the wrong name and office. She found it funny, and she did it for him. She was attracted to him from the first moment. A spark of love, yes, maybe that was it. Or love, who knows. But the same thing did not happen to him, although he seemed to like her. His statement contained his address and telephone number, as well as his email address. That's why she called him 2 weeks later. "Hello," she said, "I need to talk to you."
"Yes, Ms. Clark."
"Any problems with my statement?" It was in fact his parents' statement because he had not yet emancipated himself.
"Oh no, don't worry. But I have to talk to you."
They met in a hotel cafe. It was not just any hotel. It had 5 stars.
"I like you. Do you like me?"
She could not suppress a sense of guilt and discomfort at the very moment of saying those words. What would she do with this child who could be her son?
"Very much, Ms. Philomena," he said. She did not expect that. Maybe she was expecting a reaction of astonishment, terror, scandal. Or at least that boy would get very nervous.
But no, with all his confidence he just said "very much," that he likes her a lot. But she was more than twice her age. She was 150% older than him.
"Do you really like me?" she asked as if she were 15.
"I do."
"Would you have sex with me?" she fired straight.
"It would be an honor." "Are you serious?" Aware of the friendly talk, she enjoyed the moment.
"So let's go. Take the key. I'll go after a while."
She gave him the room key in that hotel discreetly. He looked at it. 405. When she arrived, he was looking out of the window. "What are you looking at?"
"How small we are. All those people below are dreaming, working hard on things, They want to be happy, but they are too busy to stop at those little things that would make them happy. A philosopher, are you? Interesting. And are you only 20 years old? That's what my ID says. And you?
I am 50 years old.
Oh, you are fortunate. What this man is not of this world, she thought. Well, you've been living for 50 years, and I don't know if I'll ever reach that age, and you made the best of it. You look younger and prettier than the average 50-year-old girl.
Younger? Prettier?
Do you prefer older women?
No, I don't.
So
I like you.
Yes, that man must be a Martian, or an old man in the body of a child. She could not understand him. She did not see where he was going. Unlike her, who can be seen coming from afar. That's why she asked him a lot, and then answered all his questions. For hours they talked incessantly. They told each other their whole lives. As they spoke, she undressed, and then undressed him, without him seeming to notice, for he was so engaged in what they were saying to each other, and he did not want to interrupt her with something as vulgar as "Why are you undressing?" or "Why are you undressing me?" She lay down and made him lie down next to her, but he did not dare to interrupt the dialogue. So Dawn caught them naked in bed, holding their hands and doing nothing else all night.
"Oh, I have to go to work," she said.
"And don't you work?" she said, half asleep.
"No, Philomena, not yet. I'm too young for that."
"And what do you do?"
"I study history."
"If you have to go," he told her as she finished dressing, "we can see each other later if you want." She thought about him all day. How could a young man like him be interested in a woman as old as her? In the evening, at 8 o'clock, he was waiting for her where they had agreed.
"I thought you wouldn't come."
"Why?"
"I don't know."
"Don't you see me as your mother?"
"No, you don't look like her at all."
"What about your day?"
"All right.
I went to university, to class. Then I went home to eat, and then I went back to college to study in the faculty library. And now I'm with you, at last.
At last.
This is the best time of my day." She smiled. "Where does that man come from?" He should have been born 30 years earlier, and she would find him instead of Anthony, her first husband. Because this one said the most beautiful things she had ever heard a man say to a woman. And in addition, he speaks to her as if he has known her all his life. How is that possible?
"Well, what are we doing?
Would you like to see a movie?
It would be good."
"Have you thought which one?"
"The Sixth Sense was recommended to me."
"It sounds to me."
"What is it about?"
"About a child who has problems.
I don't know anymore."
"Is it good?"
"That's what I was told."
"Well, it can be entertaining." She felt recognized in the loneliness of that little boy, although she would never have imagined such a surprising ending. "What did you like most about the movie?" The boy had an incredible sensitivity. "And the end I didn't expect." His smile had a touch of cynicism.
"Did you expect that?"
"Well, halfway through the movie I already felt something."
"When?"
"When I saw that his wife did not pay him the slightest attention."
"Oh, yes, of course."
"Had you seen the movie?"
"No.
But, well, I'm very suspicious, you know."
"Is that why you meet an older woman?"
He did not expect that.
"Well, I don't know.
It could be so." He regained his composure.
"Yes, that could be.
I distrust young women. Girls of my age have their heads full of nonsense, and their chatter is superficial and boring. They think only of nonsense and marriage."
"And you, do you think an older woman gives you sex without duties?"
"The sex issue is not important. As for the complications, you older ones present less of them."
"Yes, but you are more complex than the young women."
"And I like that."
"I said duties, not complications."
"Well, you're right. The older ones don't impose duties, really.
But I didn't think of that.
You see, I'm very basic.
More than I thought."
He smiled.
"Would you marry me?"
He did expect that question for a long time.
"Maybe.
When we get to know each other better. Getting married is a very serious matter."
"What if I told you there would be no sex until we got married?"
"I would wait."
"Or are you telling me that?
Are you proposing to me?"
"No, you idiot, of course not.
We've known each other for a few days.
I've been married 3 times,
with 2 sponges and a mistreater.
I would never mistreat you.
I respect you too much for that.
But I should live at your expense,
because I am still a student without my own resources. Now I live at the expense of my parents, but society sees this better than living at your expense, he said, blinking. For the record, it was a theoretical question. I'm not proposing to you. That's good, is it? He smiled but said nothing. He would let her take it, but she changed the conversation. Would you allow me to invite you to dinner? I don't know. I would feel bad. I always invited the women I dated, not for dinner. Of course, I don't have that much money. I feel like eating out. In fact, I will. And if you're not as clumsy as I think, you'll come with me and don't mind me inviting you. All right, all right. Where? At Leonardo's, across the street. That's one of the most expensive ones. I couldn't invite you even if I worked. Nonsense. You invited me to the movies. I invite you to dinner. During dinner she saw that she was comfortable with that boy, and it seemed to her that he was having a great time too. She was not a flirtatious woman, and besides, her private life was only hers. That's why the only thing her friends knew was that she was meeting someone, what surprised them a lot, because she, like her friends, was already at an age when it's hard to find a partner because men her age prefer and find younger women, and those who are older than them, are no longer for those tasks, or live a pleasant old age with their wives or daughters. During dinner she thought about all these things, and after paying the bill, she told him something that the young man did not expect at all. Look, she showed him the key to the hotel number 405, the same as last time, which happened to be a few hundred yards away. I'm going to our room. I'll take a bath and then I'll wait for you in bed, naked. Take your time. I have nothing to do until tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I'll wait for you all night, though, he smiled. You must give me at least half an hour to get ready for you. He looked at her in surprise. Where is the point that there will be no sex until we get married? It was a theoretical question. I already told you. I will never get married again. 3 times was enough. And I advise you not to get married either. One never knows who will marry until it is too late. He looked at her with pleasure. He took her hand, kissed it gently, then took the key, looked at it carefully, and put it back in her hand. Room 405, he said. I will leave you in doubt, Philomena. I do believe in marriage, and although I don't demand chastity until the wedding night, I don't think it's a bad idea. I understand. Last time I liked us talking all night and not having sex even when we were both naked. I liked that too. You were excited, but you controlled yourself. He smiled but said nothing. Well, she finished, I'm leaving with the doubt. She got up, letting him help her put on her coat. There are no such gentlemen left, she told herself, much less at his age. She kissed him on both cheeks, and slowly left the restaurant. He stayed drinking his coffee. A few minutes later she was in the hotel. She went up to the 4th floor, went to her room, and undressed. She left her clothes on the bed, then took a bubble bath. She rested for 20 minutes, thinking about what he was doing. Cradle robber, she told herself. Yes, so what? I'm not forcing you to do anything. If he doesn't come, then friends. If it comes, amazing. She looked out the window at the bathroom. Not getting up, she stayed so long. Then she closed her eyes. If he comes and we do nothing, great. If we talk like the other day, better. And if we have sex, well, I don't know. I hope that doesn't hurt our friendship. Suddenly she looked at her watch. Almost an hour passed. He did not come because the door was closed and no one called. He won't come, she told herself. Well, maybe it's for the best. She dried herself carefully. She spread some smoothing cream all over her body. She smeared perfume on her armpits, her chest, her neck, her leg, her thighs. Then she went to bed. She picked up her clothes and hung them in the closet. She uncovered the blanket, and before going to bed she told herself just in case, and opened the door of the room. There was no one in the corridor. She left the door open so that it seemed closed, but without locking it, so that it would be enough to push it with one finger to open it. She lay down, and without covering herself with the sheet, she closed her eyes and lay there thoughtfully, on the bed. She could hear the air coming in and out of her lungs, under her generous breasts. She even heard the beating of her heart. She was ready to hand it over to the boy if he asked for it, though she suspected she had already given it to him. And with that thought that made her skin crawl to extremes that she didn't think were possible, with that pleasant feeling of having goosebumps, she fell asleep with a smile on her face. 2 hours later she felt a warm touch on her left cheek. She turned to that side and threw her arm and leg over the man, and fell back asleep. It was a beautiful dream. This man had no face, but his touch was soft, and caressed her. He stroked her hair, her back, her chest. Suddenly her eyes widened. Something shook her from her dream, and yet it was the man caressing her. Her own hair covered her face and so she could not distinguish his features at first. She pushed them away from her eyes with one hand, and then she saw him in the nightlight coming through the window. Here was her young love. "You came," she whispered, 2 hours ago. She looked at the clock and saw that it was 4 in the morning. "You're late. I had to think. You are dressed." "Yes. I'm excited to be dressed in bed with a naked woman." She smiled. "Your smile is beautiful." "Thanks." He stroked her hair and then kissed her. Despite kissing her on the lips, it was a chaste kiss. She thanked him with a smile and returned the kiss. "I love you." "Those are big words, Philomena. I already know. I'm stupid, but I love you. You fall in love easily. You are a strange young man. I thought all men wanted to put it in when they could, without complicating their lives. Here I am, naked for the second time in your bed, and you are dressed and do not take advantage of the situation. I'd rather you be with me than take advantage of you and disappear. There is no magic in fucking, but there is magic to discover in your heart." That completely woke her up. What was this guy saying? She no longer saw him as the troubled wanderer who asked her for help. She saw him as a man much older than her, full of wisdom. She felt like a helpless child seeking protection. His protection. She hugged him with her arms and legs, and fell asleep, tired. In the light of dawn, the alarm clock on her cell phone rang, and she opened her eyes. She was alone. Yes, it was a dream. Her love did not visit her that night. She understood. She dressed herself between new welcome sobs. Then she did her hair and makeup, had breakfast in the hotel restaurant and went to work. In the middle of the morning he called her. "Philomena, do you want to come dance with me tonight? To a disco? Better, to a ballroom. Do you know how to dance?" "I do. I don't know. I've never been to a dance floor. When I was young I used to go to nightclubs with my friends." "It doesn't matter. You let yourself be held, and that's it." "All right. At what time? Is the 8 good for you?" "Okay. Until 8 o'clock then." "Wait, wait, what?" "Give me your address so I can pick you up." "Let's meet there better, right? Tell me the address of the ballroom. I will look for my girl and accompany her safely back home." "Of those who no longer remain," she said to herself with a sense of gratitude. And she gave him her address. At 8 o'clock in the evening her boyfriend was dressed there in an elegant suit and polished shoes. She also had got ready carefully. She went to the hairdresser in the afternoon to fix her hair, then she took a long bath. She softened the skin of her whole body with a special cream, and she perfumed it. She also imagined a lot of things, like the teenage girl she never really was. That night he taught her to waltz, salsa, bachata, loose and coupled, dancing a very slow piece, hugging him, and with her head resting on his shoulder, she slipped to him, "I love you," for the second time. He replied by kissing her. As they sat down to rest, he told her something new. "It is impossible not to love you." She grabbed his hand and kissed it. Then she brought it to her chest. "You can have me," she, "as long as you want." 2 hours later he led her home. "Would you like something to drink?" she asked. He looked at her lovingly and said, "I don't want to bother your parents." "There are no parents. I live alone." "Ah, well, in that case I can't resist such an offer." They had some honey rum, then sat on a black leather couch. She took off her shoes and put her feet on him, smiling as she drank the rum. "I finally have you where I want to. On your couch. On my couch. Now you are mine. I've been since I saw you that day at your working place." "Did you fall in love at first sight?" "I think before. I've been looking for you all my life. I found you when I made a wrong income tax." That night they made love. "I want to do this every night," she told him. No hotel no longer? This is your house. I'll give you a key. I'd love to see you when I get back from work. I accept your key, but it's too early for me to leave my parents.
Yes, Dad, she said sarcastically. You are always so mature, always doing the right thing to do.
You caught me, he said. She smiled at the absurdity of the thought.
It looks like you're in your 50s and I'm in my 20s.
The 4th of May. Does that date tell you anything?
Yes.
Why do you ask?
It's the hotel room where you offered me your nudity twice.
405, 405.
You didn't come the second time.
I went at 2 in the morning. You slept.
At 4 you woke up.
We talked, but you fell asleep again.
Before dawn I left for my house because I had to prepare to go to university, to class.
Did you come?
It was not a dream.
No.
You said very nice things.
It's magic.
Being with you is like a dream for me.
Never leave me.
Leave the future alone.
Carpe diem.
Yes, Horatius, carpe diem, quam minimum credula posta, enjoy this day, and have minimal confidence in the future.
You are a box of surprises.
War.
You are the first woman I know who knows the whole saying.
You are just amazing, a sage in the body of a goddess.
And he kissed the goddess again.
But you didn't tell me why May 4th is important to you, he told her.
That was the day I was last divorced 5 years ago.
But I didn't choose that room, not the first time.
It was a coincidence.
Then I asked for it but because I wanted it to be our room.
But I didn't see the connection until you mentioned it.
That year he finished his career in history.
He took a master's degree in 20th century Europe, and when he was immersed in his doctoral dissertation on the Spanish Civil War, she surprised him with news.
I'm pregnant.
Against what she expected, he smiled.
We'll take good care of it.
Aren't you angry?
I can have an abortion.
What would have happened to you if your mother had done that?
She died, she said very sadly.
Why?
I never told you.
I told you my parents died when I was a kid.
But I did know my father.
My mother died when I was born,
giving birth to me.
Yes, poor Sandra, he stammered.
What?
I never told you my mother's name.
Was her name Sandra?
Yes.
Alice, it is a coincidence.
You reminded me of a friend of mine named Sandra.
She also died in childbirth years ago.
I think the girl was raised by her grandmother, Fabiola.
What?
What?
Fabiola was my grandmother's name.
She raised me.
Alice, another coincidence.
They looked at each other for a long time.
She was sure she had known him before, but he did not know when or where.
I come to live with you, Philomena, the one her parents want.
That day her boy was stranger than usual.
That's what my grandmother told me.
What did she say?
That my parents wanted a child for many years.
And when they finally found out that I was coming and that it was going to be a girl, they gave me that name, the one their parents love, Philomena.
That's why I like my name so much.
And yet you knew none of them.
Yes, I knew my father.
He died when I was 10 years old.
Yes. He died in a stupid car accident.
How do you know?
You told me.
No.
You sometimes talk while sleeping.
That's what you told me.
Well, you said it and I was awake and I heard it.
And you said more things during your sleep.
Oh, is that right?
I didn't know that.
I never suspected I had a sleepy speech.
Your grandmother never told you.
Not your husband's.
Well, no.
Maybe they didn't hear you, or they were busy with other things.
I watch you when you sleep.
Sometimes I wake up when we sleep together,
and I take your hand.
I kiss you, and I watch you for hours.
That was devotion.
Her eyes watered.
We can't have this kid.
He looked at her with endless pity.
Of course we will.
Why do you say no?
Because when he's older and needs me, I'll be 70,
and I'll be 40 years old.
And so,
the normal thing is that I die around that age.
What would he do without his mother?
You may live many more years,
and I'll take care of you both.
You don't want to live with me.
I already told you.
From this moment on I'm living with you, my daughter.
I won't leave you again,
no.
That disarmed her.
My daughter?
Did that young man just tell him he was her father?
What,
my daughter?
It's a way of talking.
A name to show affection.
I'm old enough to be your son, not your father.
Yes.
And everything I told you in dreams?
No,
Don't jump to absurd conclusions. Life is simpler than you think, Philomena. Philomena no longer lived alone. During her 9 months of pregnancy, her boyfriend was with her. His parents came to visit them often. His mother, Aguda, was a charming 40-year-old who did not understand that her son would live with a woman older than her. Arthur, her husband, did understand, because Philomena was very beautiful and it was only natural that her son liked her. In addition, Philomena and he, Arthur, were classmates at school, although she no longer remembered it. But what they both liked was that this 50-year-old woman would make them grandparents. After a few months, and it was time to give birth. Unlike her mother, Philomena did not die in it. In fact, he did it 56 years later. When her boyfriend saw his daughter come out into the world, he couldn't help but shout, "Sandra, what?" When the happy mother was already in her room nursing her daughter, she asked, "How did you know I wanted to name our daughter after my mother?"
I didn't know
that. Why did you say Sandra when you saw her?" For the first time since he met her, he was speechless. "Look, Philomena, I wasn't totally honest with you. Are you married already?"
"No."
"So?" "I was very careful, but I had two setbacks. Don't get me wrong. What should I not get you wrong about?"
"You will see. Some people say that when you die, you are reborn."
"Yes, the theory of reincarnation, of karma and all that. It is said that one dies, and that when he is reborn he does not remember his previous lives. That's what they say. But sometimes that goes wrong."
"How does it go wrong? What do you mean?"
"Sure, this man is weird today," she thought. "More than usual." "Well, I do remember."
"About what?"
"About my previous life. Crystal clear." She looked at him for a long time. He also looked at her, seemingly embarrassed to give her bad news. For long minutes only the suckling of little Sandra could be heard as she pulled the nectar of life out of her mother's nipple.
"What did you do in your previous life?"
"Mi estis journalisto."
"Were you married?"
"I was."
"Did you have children?"
"A daughter." At that moment it seemed to her that she was out of breath.
"How did you die?"
"In a car accident."
"Keep going. Tell me about your wife."
"Her name was Sandra."
"Did she die in childbirth?"
"She did."
"A yummy father?"
"I'm sorry to tell you that, but I've never lied to you, and I won't do it now or ever."
"Are you that?"
"Yes, my daughter. I left you when you needed me most. But I won't leave you again for the rest of my life, I hope." She stood in deep shock, speechless, saying nothing, looking into the space beyond him. His daughter fell asleep. A nurse came and looked from one to the other, took the little girl and put her to bed in the cradle next to the bed. More than half an hour later, Philomena managed to say, "So this is incest, and our daughter is an abomination."
"No, Philomena. My body, my DNA, has nothing to do with the one who gave birth to you in Sandra's body. My parents now have nothing to do with the ones I had then. So you and I, in this life we are compatible. We will have more children."
"I can't do it, father.
Please don't call me that. I'm your daughter's father, but I'm not yours anymore."
"The hell you aren't. I want you to tell me everything. Everything you didn't tell me as a child."
"I will try."
"How old were you when you died?"
45, she added.
45 plus 21 equals 66. Yes, a very convenient age to conceive a girl of 51. Now she understood everything. "And you were looking for me?"
"Yes."
"At 12 I already knew where you lived. I watched Fabiola. It was very difficult not to be able to greet my mother. But it hurt me to see her. I don't know why. It must be because of something esoteric that I don't understand." But she kept adding, 41 years earlier his father had died, so he was born 20 years ago, which created a 21-year gap. In other words, if his father had not died, he would now be 92 years old. "Do you know? I grew up very lonely. I would need my father then. I was not born until you were 23 years old, and if I had told you that before, you would have sent me to the asylum for the mentally handicapped."
"No.
Now everything fits in place. And now, what do you want to do?"
"Now we're getting married. You used to be unique to me. Now you're so to the square power," and nodding to her daughter, she added, "Daddy, whatever you say, darling." Philomena's fourth marriage was the longest one. The conversations with her husband became even deeper and more endless. Yes, her daughter Sandra was her mother, though she did not remember her past life. But they agreed not to call her by that name, Sandra, but by that holy woman, Fabiola, the one who grows beans, the one who planted love in her mind from the time she was born until she had to leave.